Tonight we're going to continue with looking into the Roman Catholic Church. So tonight's message, Holding Hands with Rome, Part 3. So this is the final part in these messages. So over the past couple of meetings, we've questioned whether the Roman Catholic Church is becoming more biblically sound and rejecting any of its heresies. And why should we be asking this question? We're asking this question because they would have to reject all of their heresies if we were to even consider any association with the Roman Catholic Church. And the common call today is, come back to the Mother Church. And this is alluding to the misconception that Rome has produced all churches in the world and we need to go home to her. And this is a worldwide phenomenon. Even here in Cairns, we're being encouraged to join in with basically all other churches in this ecumenical move with the Roman Catholic Church. And as we've seen, the Cairns Christian Ministers Network are part of this. But what does God have to say about this? As we know here at Coastline, we can find all the answers to all of life's questions in the Bible. Amen? And especially things to do with faith and practice. Please turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 18 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. Revelation 18 verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And then drop down to verse 24. Revelation chapter 18, verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, help me now as I bring this message. I pray, Lord, that we would have come tonight ready to receive your word. Ready to hear, and Lord, I pray you bless each one that's here tonight. Lord, each one of us has different needs, and I know, Lord, that you can meet those needs of each and every one of us, Lord, and we thank thee and praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've seen over the past few messages, the Roman Catholic Church has not rejected its heresies. It is still the false religion that it always has been. In our last message, we saw that down through the centuries, true born-again Christians have identified the Roman Catholic Church with the woman who rides the beast in the book of Revelation. The Bible identifies Rome and the Catholic Church as this woman, and it's as plain as the nose on my face. If you'd like to turn back to Revelation chapter 17, we'll look at Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 9. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet coloured beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, Mother, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, and here is a mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. If we do a quick Google search, Rome's seven hills are listed, and they are, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce these right, but the Aventine Hill, the Callian Hill, the Capitoline Hill, the Esquiline Hill, the Patalian Hill, and the Quirinile Hill, and the Verminial Hill. Of course, there are other cities in the world that are said to be built on seven hills, but they don't have the history of Rome and the persecution of the saints. The Roman Catholic Church has tortured and killed millions of born-again believers down through the centuries. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 6 says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." The Roman Catholic Church is also identified by the colour of her clothing. In verse 4 of Revelation chapter 17, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." If we look at the dress of the Roman Catholic clergy, we can see the obvious correlation with Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4. In an article of dress standards based on the principles of the Second Vatican Council, we will read this. And it's to do with the dress of the bishops and the dress of the cardinals. And it lists what they are to wear. So for the bishops, it's purple wool choir cassock trimmed in crimson silk, a purple silk rabat, purple stockings and black shoes without buckles, purple silk sash with fringes, pictorial cross suspended from a cord of green silk entwined with gold, purple wool mozzetta trimmed in crimson silk or purple wool, a cappa magna with crimson silk cape, purple silk skullcap with crimson lining, and purple or wool beretta with purple tuft and green lining. So the bishops are basically purple everything. And then the cardinals, scarlet wool choir cassock trimmed in scarlet silk, scarlet silk rabat, scarlet stockings and black shoes without buckles, scarlet watered silk sash with fringes, pictorial cross suspended from a cord of scarlet silk entwined with gold, scarlet wool mozzetta trimmed in scarlet silk, or a scarlet watered silk cappa magna with scarlet silk cape, and scarlet watered silk skullcap with scarlet lining, and a scarlet watered silk beretta without tuft with scarlet lining. So the bishops, purple, the cardinals in scarlet. And then also the papal headpiece, or it's called a tiara. I like to think of it as just a hat. It's adorned with sapphires, rubies, emeralds, and other gems. And there you have it, Revelation chapter 17, verse 4. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." So there's no confusion there. God lists very specific things in his word for us to identify who the woman is in Revelation chapter 17. And it is very obvious to a true born-again believer that this is the Roman Catholic Church whose headquarters is in Rome, the city on the seven hills, and the hierarchy are dressed in purple and scarlet. The ecumenical movement says to get together in love. And, well, we all worship the same God. But our God, the God of the Bible, does not say that. The God of the Bible tells us to separate ourselves from this corrupt system. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4 says, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." We don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." God tells us here to mark those who are committed to error and to identify them and expose them. If a movement is prominent in teaching error or is contrary to God's word, then it should be marked. We should also avoid them. To avoid those who are committed to error means stay away from their churches. Stay away from their Bible studies. Stay away from their books, their Sunday school materials, their conferences, their schools, their radio and television ministries, or their internet blogs. It doesn't mean that we should hate the Catholics. It means to disassociate from them so not to be affected by the leaven of their error. The Bible does not tell us to join them in love, not worrying about our differences. God tells us to mark them and to avoid them. The church is described in the New Testament are nothing like the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church was formed over a period of centuries following the death of the apostles. As false teachers corrupted the New Testament church pattern and added their man-made traditions. In the New Testament we find no papacy, no priesthood after the fashion of Rome's, no sacraments that are added to faith for salvation, no archbishops or cardinals, no baptismal regeneration, no mass, no infant baptism, no last unction, no Mary as Queen of Heaven, no Mary as Mother of God, no sinless Mary, no prayers to the saints, no purgatory, no holy relics or holy robes or holy water, and no crucifixes, no candles, no cathedrals, no monks, no celibate pastors, no enforced days of fasting, no prohibition against marriage or against eating meat, nothing about the Church of Rome being exalted over other churches. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? The Holy Scripture always upholds itself as the absolute and sole standard for truth. Those who speak contrary to the Scriptures are in darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ severely rebuked the Pharisees because they had added their man-made tradition as authority with the Scriptures and thereby contradicted the Scriptures. If you'd like to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 9. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1, And then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honour thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profitable of me, and honour not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Not only is the Roman Catholic doctrine and practice not based on the Bible, it contradicts the Bible, so it cannot be its source, or the Bible cannot be its source. Catholic dogmas of papacy, Mary worship, the saints, the priesthood, the Mass and purgatory are not only not found in the New Testament, they contradict plain New Testament teaching. The priesthood contradicts the New Testament in that Christ alone is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Christ established no priesthood for the New Testament churches other than the priesthood of all believers. There is not one example in the New Testament of a priest being ordained and set apart or performing the type of ministry that we see in the Roman Catholic Church. The New Testament gives qualifications for pastors and deacons, but not for priests. The apostles did not teach that there was there is a special priesthood among the believers. The apostles did not teach there was a pope. The apostles did not teach that the Lord's Supper is to be a sacrifice of any sort. The apostles did not teach that Mary is sinless or perpetually a virgin or ascended bodily to heaven, or that she is the Queen of Heaven, or that Christians are to pray to her. The apostles did not teach that their office would be passed on at their death, and they gave no instruction for apostolic succession. The apostles did not teach that the churches are to have sacraments. The apostles did not teach that there are special saints to whom Christians can pray. And these are contrary to the teachings of the apostles and New Testament scriptures. Now we have the choice between trusting in the Bible as the authoritative and complete word of God or trusting the Catholic Church. They cannot both be right because they are in contradiction. We know here at Coastline that the Bible proves itself to be the inspired and infallible word of God in countless ways. There's fulfilled prophecy, scientific accuracy, its cohesive unity, even though it was written over periods of hundreds of years, its power to change lives, its testimony of Jesus Christ and the testimony of the apostles. On the other hand, the Catholic Church proves to be false by any standard that we use. It is morally corrupt and doctrinally heretical. The Bible does not contradict itself, but the popes have continually contradicted themselves. We have the choice between trusting the apostles and trusting the popes. The apostles were not morally reprobate, nor did they contradict Holy Scriptures. Everything they taught was in complete conformity with Scripture. It is very easy to trust the apostles and to reject the popes. The Roman Catholic Church claims that its authority lies in the popes as the successors of the apostles and in the priesthood. And there is not even a hint of this in New Testament Scripture. You cannot find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ established the office of the Pope as it is found in the Catholic Church and where he made provision for the continuation of such an office. And you cannot find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ established the Catholic priesthood. We have scriptural authority for the gospel that we believe, that salvation is by the grace of Jesus Christ alone, through his completed atonement alone, through faith alone, without works and sacraments. We have scriptural authority for the type of simple New Testament church that we attend here at Coastline. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, and we learn of him through scriptures that he gave through divine inspiration. We have an infallible test whereby to judge the teachings of man. Every teaching and tradition that is contrary to that inspired scripture, we reject on the authority of God's word. Amen. Down through the centuries, the Roman Catholic Church has fought against the Bible and those who take it as their sole authority. It's only when Rome has lacked the power to accomplish its true intention did she permit the distribution of Bible in common languages. And even then she attempted to control such distribution and to force people to read only those Bibles that contain Catholic notes approved by its hierarchy. During the first few centuries following the deaths of the apostles, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ were bitterly persecuted by the Grecian and Roman emperors. These worldly princes, enraged against God's people by demonic powers, poured out unspeakable torments in an attempt to destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ. These same Roman princes attempted to destroy the New Testament scriptures. The Nicomedean Edict of AD 303 called for the burning of all copies of Scripture. The secular persecution ceased by about AD 311, and under Constantine the Great there was an alignment of church and state. And this was a key step in the formation of the Roman Catholic Church. And then Catholicism rose gradually over a period of several centuries. And it was not until the 6th century that the Catholic Pope achieved the position that he has held since. Gregory the Great, who ruled from 540 to 604, was considered the first of the proper popes, and with him began the development of the infallible papacy. In spite of the bitter persecutions of the first centuries, translations of Scripture were made into many of the major languages of the world. The persecutions that were poured out upon the Paulicans beginning in the 7th century caused them to be scattered throughout Europe, carrying with them everywhere the New Testament faith. From Italy, the Paulicans sent colonies into almost all other provinces of Europe and gradually formed a considerable number of religious assemblies who adhered to their doctrine and who realized every opposition and indignity from the popes. By the end of the first millennium after the apostles, the conflict between true churches and false churches increased dramatically. During the first few centuries after the apostles, secular governments and pagan religions were the devil's instruments of choice to torment God's people. But by the 4th century, the Roman Catholic Church had begun to usurp authority over the churches and was persecuting those who refused to submit to its claims. As the first millennium proceeded from the 4th to the 10th centuries, Rome gathered to itself increasing power, and by the beginning of the second millennium, the battle was raging. In the 11th century, capital punishment in its most dreadful form, that of burning alive at the stake, was extended to all who obstinately adhered to opinions differing from the Roman Catholic faith. During the reign of Pope Benedict VIII, which was 1012 to 1024, a synod was held at Toulouse to consider the most effectual method to rid the province of the Albigenses. And although the whole sect was in 1022 said to have been burnt, immigrants from Bulgaria coming into colonies in France kept the seed of God's word sown. Testifying to the love that separated Christians had for the Bible, a Catholic inquisitor states they had the Old and New Testament in the vulgar tongue, and that men and women, little and great, day and night, ceased not to learn and to teach. An old manuscript outlining an 11th century Waldensian creed reads, "In articles of faith, the authority of the Holy Scripture is the highest authority, and for that reason it is the standard of judging, so that whatever doth not agree with the word of God is deservedly to be rejected and avoided." The Albigenses rejected the Roman Catholic Church and esteemed the New Testament above all its traditions and ceremonies. For their faith in God's Word, they were condemned by 4 different Catholic councils. In 1180, Cardinal Henry commenced a crusade against them with a sword. It begins in the middle of the 12th century and was blotted out before the middle of the 13th. A group of New Testament believers at Cologne and Bonn, which appear in the historical record in 1146, were labelled heretics because they denied infant baptism, purgatory, intercession of the saints, and other Catholic doctrines. A monk who opposed them said that they sustained their positions by the authority of Scripture. For this, they were tormented without mercy. Tonight I was going to include accounts of persecution that have been recorded throughout history. I downloaded a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs, which has been made available for free to download as a PDF file. And I would highly recommend that if you don't have a copy, you should get one. They're free, amen. And have a read what the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, has done to people like you and me down through the centuries. The persecution committed in the name of the Roman Catholic Church that is recorded is almost beyond comprehension. Man's depravity fueled by demonic forces is so barbaric and so awful that I cannot put it into words. In conclusion, Rome remains the same blasphemous institution that hurled curses upon those who believed in the Bible and who placed their faith exclusively upon Jesus Christ and His atonement. It still makes the same pompous claims to be the mother of all churches. It still claims to have authority to rule over all churches and to make laws equal in authority to the Scripture. And it still claims its papacy is the rock upon which the church is founded. The Catholic Church is not merely a congregation of individuals. It is an institution that claims to be the Church of Jesus Christ. But it must be judged on the basis of its official dogmas, particularly the dogma and tradition of the papacy. If the papacy is false, the Roman Catholic Church is false. The popes claim to have inherited apostolic authority to be vicars of Christ on earth, to be supreme over all bishops and pastors on the earth. If this is shown to be false, the Roman Catholic Church is shown to be a blasphemous and false institution. It is these claims that the popes have exercised throughout history and have resulted in so much pain and bloodshed. The modern popes sit in the seat of their wicked forefathers. They do not use the same tactics because they don't have the same power at this point in history. But they have not renounced the heretical claims of the papacy. Rome's goals have not changed. The Second Vatican Council ran from 1962 to 1965. It launched the Roman Catholic Church into the ecumenical movement. It plainly stated that the unity of Christians could only be achieved on Rome's terms. And the following statements are excerpts taken from the Second Vatican Council. And they stated this: the Roman Pontiff, by reason of his office as Vicar of Christ, namely as the pastor of the entire church, has full, supreme and universal power over the whole church, a power which he can always exercise unhindered. All Christians will be gathered in a common celebration of the Eucharist into the unity of the one and only church which Christ bestowed on his church from the beginning. The unity, we believe, subsists in the Catholic Church as something she can never lose. And ecumenical activity cannot be other than fully and sincerely Catholic, that is, loyal to the truth we have received from the Apostles and the Fathers and in harmony with the faith which the Catholic Church has always professed. In spite of the fact of some dramatic changes that have been made since the Second Vatican Council, the Roman Catholic Church remains the same unscriptural institution it always has been. And yet the lie that Catholicism is becoming more evangelical, more biblical and more spiritual continues to be propagated with blind perseverance. It is a lie that is being used to encourage ecumenical relationships between Catholics and Protestants. This call to join with the Catholic Church is in total disobedience to God's word. God calls the Roman Catholic Church the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Why would we want to associate with an organisation that God describes as such? Amen.